Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. This is Abdul Nasser Jangda and you're listening to the Qalam Podcast. The following recording is from the annual Qalam Qiyam that is hosted here in Dallas, Texas, during the last few nights of the month of Ramadan. Alhamdulillah, this year we held the gathering at the Roots Community Space. This annual Qiyam is an opportunity for people all around the Metroplex to come to one place physically and spend the night with our instructors and senior students from the Qalam Seminary and be led in prayers by them and listen to thoughts and reflections from the teachers at Qalam. We also open up this Qiyam to everyone worldwide by streaming it live over the internet. Alhamdulillah, this year we were able to record the talks, and so we are very happy to bring you these recordings in the form of a podcast so that inshallah you can listen to them, reflect upon them, and share them with family and friends. And lastly and finally, if you have benefited from Qalam's work, if you appreciate what we are doing at Qalam, then please go to supportqalam.com and be a part of the solution. Invest into your akhirah and have a share in Sadaqah Jariyah, a perpetual good, a continuous effort, inshallah, that will continue to benefit people for generations to come and will continue to fill your book of deeds till the day of judgment. Jazakumullahu khairan. Listen to the podcast. I hope and pray that it's a source of benefit. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Yeah, I'll keep it brief, inshallah. Yeah, honestly, like, that was it, yo.
Yeah.
Right?
That's all I needed.
That's what I needed, like, subhanallah. That was beautiful, alhamdulillah. Is he gone yet? Because I want to praise the brother, but is he gone? Subhanallah. Like, can you give me a second? Like, we can't just go from to the next talk like that. I mean, like, do tawbah, right? Stop and do a tawbah, like, while your heart is still soft. Don't let that moment, that opportunity from Allah leave. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
And just right into the next talk, because I'm not going to be all, like, soft and mellow either, too. So, like, take that opportunity to, when Allah opens the heart, like, you have to use that opportunity. It's a gift from God. That softness of the heart is a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when it comes, if you treat the gift, the guest correct, the guest comes back. If you treat the guest well, it comes back to visit you again. But if you ignore the guest is that opening, that futuha rabbaniya, that divine opening that you just felt as he was speaking to you. So use that one moment where you felt it to just reconnect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I didn't want to just like jump right back into my talk so quick, but the purpose of tonight is actual ibadah, and the intention that we have from these talks is to, you know, boost us in that ibadah, right? The purpose isn't the speech, the talk. The purpose is the result and the kayfiyah that is created, in your heart from that talk to push you throughout the night. What we're doing, the Salaf called Ihya'ul Layl. The Ihya'ul Layl means to give life to the night. Now, before Islam, I used to stay up all night doing all types of stuff. But we won't call that Ihya'ul Layl because you're not giving life to it. And for us, giving life has a deeper meaning. It's giving purpose, true meaning to it. And the Salaf as-Salih, the righteous lives that we read about before, their daily, yearly thing was to give life to the night, right? And here we are just witnessing that moment. Alhamdulillah, Ramadan it came right on time for me. I don't know about you, but it came right at that moment as the heart was getting dry. And alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to'an aw karha, as Allah says, like, whether you want it or not, it hits you. And here we are giving life to the night, right? Remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at 2:40 a.m. on a Friday night? Saturday night, right?
Saturday
night. Like, I'm talking about like party, like,
yeah,
for,
yeah.
Like,
yeah, yeah,
Saturday night.
Saturday night. Yeah.
Like, we're giving life to the, what's that? Well, we got the point, right? You know what I mean? Like, if you had went out, now, I'm not saying you should, obviously, but if you had went out, you would still be, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, you got me. Thank you, man. All right, cool. Alhamdulillah. Yeah, okay. All right, bismillah. I just didn't want to wash off the kayfiyah effect of Mufti Kamani so quick. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wassalatu wassalam ala Sayyidina wa Nabiyyina Mawlana Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. وَلَوْ عَلِمَ اللَّهُمْ فِيهِمْ خَيْرَ الْأَسْمَعَهُمْ Regarding the munafiqeen, Allah subhanahu, they didn't want to hear the Quran. They didn't want to hear no reminders. They didn't want to hear it. Right? And many times when you reject something, you think it's a conscious choice that you're making to reject it. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, no, it's something deeper that's going on. وَلَوْ عَلِمَ اللَّهُ فِيهِمْ خَيْرَ الْأَسْمَعَهُمْ If Allah knew that there was khayr in them, He would allow them to listen to it. Us being here, as Mufti Kamani was saying, us being here is a sign. Allah knows there is khayr in you. There is beauty in you. And that right there is a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't sleep on being chosen by Allah. Don't sleep on being chosen by Allah. And there's a quick story I'll share with, I was sharing with some of the Qalam students of a, just a story. It doesn't have to be true, but you know, it has a lesson for us. And, anyone study a little bit of Arabic and the teacher write Daraba Zaydun Amaran on the board? Anyone study a little bit of Arabic? Alright, if you didn't, it's all good. Like the teacher will write Daraba Zaydun Amaran. Alright, what does that mean? Zay hit Amr, right? So one of the students was like, why'd he hit him? And the teacher's like, that's not the point here. I'm trying to teach you something deeper. So don't look at the external. Look at the deeper meaning. So regarding tawfiq, regarding Allah allowing you to do something, there's a story that Mawlana Rumi shares in the Mathnawi. And he says that there was this master who wanted to go to the hammam and take a bath. So he called his servant and he said, you know, get the napkins and the soap and let's go. So he said, you know, labbaik, I'm ready, let's go. So they started to go. And on the way, he heard the adhan for Fajr. So the slave or servant said to the master, if you allow me just to go salli two rakats real quick, and we'll go. So he goes, okay, quick, go do what you got to do, right? So he goes in, and after some time, everyone clears out the masjid, but this guy doesn't come back out. He doesn't come out. So from outside the masjid, the master's like, yo, what's holding you up? He's like, yo, somebody's got me stuck here. He's like, what are you talking about? Someone's got you stuck. No one's there. He's like, the same one that got you stuck out got me stuck in. Subhanallah. Meaning the tawfiq comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? So the one that brought you to this gathering, that's a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Be grateful, because if you're grateful, Allah increases you in these type of gatherings, in these type of righteous company, inshallah ta'ala. The topic I'm going to talk about very briefly, because tonight is a night of turning to Allah, not hearing about turning to Allah, right? The topic I'm going to talk about is after Ramadan and one of the purposes of Ramadan. And I'm going to share two stories so that we can understand it. Once a young man came to accept Islam on the hands of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He believed in Islam. It made sense to him. It was clear as day. He believes in it. He says the testimony of faith. But then he says, Ya Rasulullah, I got one condition though. I got one condition. You got to allow me to commit zina. I'm down. Like, I'm Muslim. I'm rolling with you.
You translate?
Oh, fornication.
Another English word that you have to translate.
Come on. Yo, come on, Ustad.
The reason I'm saying is because in the narration, he was very blunt.
Okay, okay. That's why you said that, right? Okay.
Yeah. All
right. So he asked, he wanted to, come on, man. You really want me to like.
You want to hook up.
All right. Yeah, he wanted to hook up, like, fornicate, man. Why are you putting me in an awkward position, man, on Laylatul Qadr or something like that, man? Okay, so listen, because seriously, so he says, I'm down, I want to be Muslim, I want to accept Islam, but just one thing, just let me commit zina, fornicate, just allow me to fornicate. Now, all the Sahaba were like, astaghfirullah, like, la hawla wa la quwwata. What's this brother saying in front of this blessed soul of the Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? How dare you even articulate that, let alone think it. right? And the prophet side, something's like, everyone, yo, relax. Like always, he did this so many times, everyone like, like, you know what they say? He's like, calm down. So he comes over and he sits with the prophet sallallahu and he has this transformation that what we're going to call tonight a moral compass recalibration. The moral compass was calibrated. Before that moment, it had not been calibrated yet. It had not been given true direction yet. So in that moment, he sat with the Prophet ﷺ, and through his interaction with the Prophet ﷺ, in that moment, the moral compass was calibrated. When he gets up, you know what he says? He says, Wallahi, I swear by God, there was no sin more hated to me than fornication after I got up from that gathering. But the moral compass was calibrated in that moment, excuse me. Now I'm going to share you another story about someone else. And then we can draw some parallels between. Wabisa. Wabisa is a companion of the Prophet ﷺ. And he comes to ask the Prophet ﷺ about two things. Al-bir, righteousness, and itham, sins. So he walks in, and the Prophet ﷺ beats him to the punch. You came to ask me about bir and sin, didn't you? SubhanAllah. That prophetic insight, foresight. Like Basira, he knew right away. So he sat him down. And I want to actually read the narration for you verbatim so you could like feel the power. He says, the Prophet ﷺ, I said to him, yeah, that's why I came. That's why I came. قال فجمع أصابع. Can I use you? The Prophet ﷺ, he put his fingers together and he touched them in the chest. And he said, استفتي نفسك. Ask yourself. Istafti qalbak, ask your heart, ya wabisa. Al bir matma'anna ilayk al qulub. Bir, righteousness, is that which your heart is at peace with. And sin, al ith, ma haka fi sadrik. That anxiety, it doesn't feel right. No. Wa kritta an yatala alayhi an-nas. And you gotta hide, do it on the low. That's the other sign. And then the Prophet ﷺ, he says, وَإِنْ اِفْتَاكَ النَّاسِ. Even if you get the fatwa, even if you get the religious ruling that is halal, is good to go, even if the ruling comes. Now, that's the end of the hadith. But I want you to see something. Look how he dealt with this young man who asked to commit zina, fornicate. And look how he dealt with a mature, seasoned, calibrated sahabi who comes to ask about righteousness and sin. He didn't say to the young lad, istafti qalbak. He ain't saying it to me. I'm not ready yet. If it was me, istafti qalbak, it's all good. Especially even if they give me a fatwa too, ask my heart, even if they give me a fatwa. Oh, it's all game. You guys feel me, right? You get what I'm saying? He didn't say that to the one whose heart hadn't been calibrated yet because it wasn't ready for those words yet. But when Wabisa came, whose heart and moral compass is calibrated, he's like, yo, you're good. You're good. Ask your heart, yo. You don't need the fatwa anymore. Your heart has been set on that right path. And this is called in the Quranic and hadith terminology al-furqan. So there's a hadith of the Prophet a du'a, a supplication that he taught us. And it's one of my favorite supplications because I'm really scared about this thing for myself. The Prophet ﷺ, he said, Allahumma arina al-haqqa haqq wa zuqna tiba' wa arina al-batila batila wa zuqna jtinaba. Let's unpack it. He says, oh Allah, ya Allah, please allow me to see truth as truth. See, the reality is, shaitan will have the script flipped on you. Mm-hmm. Sorry for the East Coast slang. I don't know how y'all the slang down here.
We're good.
The script will be flipped. Meaning, north looks south, south looked north. And the defense to that is to beg Allah, oh Allah, make them congruent. Make the reality that I see the actual reality that it is. Does everyone feel me on this one? So the first step of guidance, the first step is, oh Allah, let me see truth as truth. Now what's the next thing he said? Warzuqna ittiba. Now, oh, I already know what's true. I learned it in Sunday school. I know that, right? I know it's true. Second level of guidance. Warzuqna ittiba. Oof. Oh Allah, then let me follow it. Let me follow it then. Please let me. Oh Allah, I see it now. Now let me follow it. Now, let's continue. The second part of the dua. Oh Allah, let me see falsehood as falsehood. Meaning, with all the cognitive biases that we study, we know how we self-delude, right? Come on, you guys know this better than me. Oh Allah, let me see the falsehood as falsehood. Let me be true. This is the first level of being true. You know how we say Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, he was true? The first level of true is you call a spade a spade. A spade is a spade. So, oh Allah, show me falsehood as falsehood? First level, alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah, ya Allah, I know that's wrong. Alhamdulillah. Moral compass is set. But, warzuqni ijtinab min. Next level of hidayah. Oh Allah, let me stay away from it now. I know it's wrong. But let me stay away from it. Let me stay away from it. Now, Umar bin Khattab, you heard this in Sunday school. Whenever he was walking down the street, what would happen? Yeah, shaitan would run the other way. Why? What was his nickname? Umar? Al-Faruq. Faruq comes from that same, Furqan comes from that same root. Umar Faruq, his like, you know, X-Men special quality, you know, Avengers special quality, like his what he had was that tamiz, because Furqan means tamiz bain al-haq wal-batil, to separate between, differentiate between right and wrong. He'll look at it and just call it out. No, that's wrong, sorry. Right? That's wrong. And that's why the Prophet ﷺ, like, if there was a Nabi after me, it would be Umar. If there was a Prophet after me, it would be Umar. So his special like X-Men quality was that he could differentiate it was a very sensitive moral compass. It was very sensitive because of the calibration that it went through for many years of being close to someone whose moral compass was set, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Okay? So let's get practical here for a minute now. Umar bin Faruq walks down the street, shaitan runs the other way. Why? Shaitan's role is to make falsehood look as true and true as falsehood. So the moment he finds game, he's there. Umar Faruq is the opposite of that. إِذَا جَاءَ الْحَقْ زَهَقَ الْبَاطِلِ. Light and darkness can never occupy the same place at the same time. Shaitan's like, deuces, I'm out. Because he's going to call me out. He's going to call me out as soon as I walk in. So, next thing. How do we actually, why am I talking about this on a possible Laylatul Qadr night? شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن هدى للناس وبينات من الهدى والفرقان. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and we read this in the first few days of Ramadan. شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن. The month of Ramadan is the month in which the Quran was sent down as guidance to people. وبينات من الهدى. Clear guidance, well, فرقان. And to give you the moral compass calibration that you need to survive the rest of the year. That's why Ramadan came. To give you that calibration. But how? So, you know, it's all like, tell me how. I'll give you another verse to tell you how. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, please listen to this with open hearts. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَنزَلَ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ مَاءً فَسَالَتْ أَوْدِيَةٌ بِقَدْرِهَا فَاحْتَمَلَ السَّيْلُ زَبَدًا رَابِيًا وَمِمَّا يُوقِدُونَ عَلَيْهِ فِي النَّارِ ابْتِغَاءَ حِلْيَةً أَوْ مَتَاعٍ زَبَدٌ مِثْلُهُ كَذَلِكَ يَضْرِبُ اللَّهُ الْحَقَّ وَالْبَاطِلَ فَأَمَّا الزَّبَدُ فَيَذْهَبُ جُفَاءً وَأَمَّا مَا يَنْفَعُ النَّاسَ فَيَمْكُثُ فِي الْأَرْضِ كَذَٰلِكَ يَضْرِبُ اللَّهُ الْأَمْثَالِ Allah says, أَنزَلَ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ مَا Allah sent down rain, water from the heavens. When that water comes down, فَسَالَتْ أَوْدِيَةٍ بِقَدْرِهَا It goes through the valleys. As it rains, it goes through valleys. Then Allah says, بِقَدْرِهَا The valleys carry water according to their depth. We'll come back to that. According to their depth, they carry water. What happens? The foam, all the dirt, all the stuff that's on the side of the valley, it starts to get washed away. Zabad, the foam, it's washed away. Why? Because the water is flowing through it. I think y'all feel me. I see some people nodding. I think that you feel the example that Allah is giving to you already. The water is flowing through it. The foam is being taken out. And Allah says, وَمَا يَنْفَعُ النَّاسِ فَيَمْكُثُ The thing that's really going to benefit you for the rest of the year, that's going to stay when the water comes through that valley and cleans out the valley. Subhanallah. Ibn Qayyim al-Jawzi rahimahullah, you know how he explains this? First and foremost, you know what the water is? The water is revelation of God. It's wahi. It's the Quran. That's the water that's coming down. You know what the valley is? Your heart. It's your heart that is supposed to come through. And then Allah says with one word, بِقَدْرِهَا. You know what بِقَدْرِهَا means? According to the depth of the valley. Which means you'll be standing in Tarawih and Sister Aisha next to you is like crying her eyes out. And here I am like, yo, game three, man. Come on. بِقَدْرِهَا. Sister Aisha's deep. Kalam, no, that's my word right there, right? Sister Aisha's valley is deep. I'm just, seriously, her valley is deep. So when that water is flowing, she's getting it all. And me, it's shallow. But, I mean, even the Grand Canyon started shallow, right? If you just let the water keep going, that's it. Every Ramadan, let the water flow. Before you know it, the valley is formed. The point I'm trying to get here for us to understand is that the calibration that takes place for the moral compass is by listening to the revelation, contemplating over it, letting it flow. Letting it flow. You know what the next verse is after this example I just gave you? You know what the next verse says? أَلَّذِينَ يَسْتَجِيبْ لَهُمُ الْحُسْنَى Those who answer the call, for them is good. For them is good. Those who answer. And another verse Allah says, إِنَّمَا يَسْجِيبُ الَّذِينَ يَسْمَعُونَ You got to listen first to answer. If you're not listening, how are you going to answer the call of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So the point, brothers and sisters, it's not going to be long-winded. Again, tonight is the night to get close to Allah, not just talk about getting close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But that moral compass has to be calibrated. Because we live in a tough time where it's hard to tell truth from falsehood. It's hard. It's getting ever so difficult. And the way we do that, the way Umar bin Khattab did it, was by two things. Number one, keeping a close connection with somebody who's calibrated. Keeping a close connection with somebody who's calibrated. Walk with them. Walk with them. They'll guide you. They'll guide you. You know, we ask for hidayah, right? I'm going to just drop one thing on you real quick. My teacher shared with me, so beautiful. You know, we ask for hidayah, ihdina sirat al-mustaqim, ihdina, hidayah, guidance, right? We keep saying this all day, ihdina, ihdina. There's two types of hidayah. Hidayah means guidance. So one type of guidance is someone tells you the directions. I'm lost. I'm like, yo, how do I get to, such and such masjid, routes? They're like, oh, go up, turn left, this, that, whatever. I'm like, all right, cool. I start driving, I get lost. The other ones, I'm like, yo, how I get off? They're like, oh, just follow me. I got you. Two types of hidayah. One is when the directions are told to you. That's the Quran. Another is when someone's like, follow me, I got you. That's the Prophet ﷺ. He's like, just follow me, I got you. That's righteous people that you have in your company. Just stick with them, you'll be good. So that's the first way you calibrate it. You know the second way you calibrate it? أَنزَلَ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ مَاءً فَسَالَتْ أَوْدِيَةٌ بِقَدْرِهَا فَاحْتَمَلَ السَّيْلُ زَبَدًا رَابِيًا Let it rain, yo. Let it rain. Let the revelation come in your heart. Listen to it. Let it affect you. Contemplate over it. Ask Allah to guide you through it. And inshallah, that's how we get connected. Allah give us tawfiq, inshallah, in these last few nights to calibrate that compass, right? Make that dua that I was talking about in the beginning. Arina al-haq.